Shalom. Good morning, everyone. Morning. How are you doing? Give me a wave. You're doing well. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise God. And those who are watching online, welcome to 10:45 service. Yeah. And it has been a long fight, isn't it? Since last year, because of COVID, time has been tough for many of us. But we know our love is in our Lord Jesus Christ. The world is uncertain, but God's plan is certain. Amen. So let us continue and remain faithful, focus, be patient, and more importantly, remain connected. Right? Remember our credo, right? You are not alone, right? We are not alone because God is with us. Do you believe in that? Right? You believe in that? Let's give a Lord a clap offering, all right? Let's thank God for that. Right? Amen. Amen. I hope you have enjoyed the series of Acts so far, because from next week onward, we are moving on to a new series. The theme is Christ and Culture. The aim is to address the question on how Christians, all right, relates to present societies. And it's going to be like Acts, okay? Very, very exciting, all right? Amen? Now, the book of Acts is filled with action stories. The Holy Spirit is moving fast and furious. Healings and miracles are after one and another. Even when the church was scattered because of severe persecution, God is still in action of bringing the gospel out of Jerusalem. And all these things were part of His plan for His church. Nothing comes as a surprise to God. God is always in control of every situation. And He sent His people out of Jerusalem into the world, into Judea, Samaria, and some went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. You know, just as the people today were scattered because of COVID, church is scattered into the world to tell the good news of Jesus through online service. I met one of my badminton kaki last week, and she said to me, "Hey, Joe, do you know I went to your website and I was watching your online service?" I said, "Wow, you know, I was very happy, all right, to know that she was watching our online." And so I asked her, "What do you think about service?" He said, "Yeah, not too bad. But there's one thing, you know, when the video go to the congregation, I realized that the people are looking at their phone while the preacher are preaching." I said, "Oh, long what Allah." But very quickly, by the wisdom of God, I said to her, "Oh, no, because nowadays, all the Bibles is in the phone. So my congregation are focusing on the preaching at the same time, reading Bible, all right, on their phone." Amen? I'm sure you are doing that, right? Yeah, amen, okay? Yeah. But I'm very encouraged, all right, to know that she is watching our online. And I'm sure she still watching, all right, because that's what she said to me. And she remember one of our preacher, our pastor, said, "There's this preacher who is round, I think it's Pastor Andrew, right?" Yeah, I said, yeah. Okay, now Pastor Andrew is getting very popular now, all right? Yeah. And my neighbor, okay, last night when I met them, all right, very nice of them, they bought me durian. So they waited for me, all right, to join them for durian. And then my neighbor said to me, "Do you know that yesterday, all right, they were somehow, I do not know what happened, all right, they somehow go to Facebook or something like that. Then they saw me preaching on screen. And their children, 3 years old, when saw me on screen, he got a shock. And he stared at the TV for a while and said to the mom, 'Mom, isn't that Uncle Joseph?' And after that, he tried to come over to my place and call Uncle Joseph. My wife told me that, right? Maybe he wants to make sure that I'm the same person on the screen, right? Yeah. And you know what? This morning, my neighbor sent me another text. This time, her daughter is in the living hall watching my online service. You know, yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, nothing, even COVID is going to stop God from spreading the good news of Christ to every one of us. Nothing will stop God, all right, from spreading His love, especially during this season of time where many of us need to hear the love of Christ. Last week, our senior pastor shared with us about the conversion of Paul, if you remember. And he said that if God is calling you today, don't kick against the goat, if you remember that. But if you have been following the book of Acts, you have been reading the book of Acts, you'll realize one thing, that up to now, all right, before today I'll be preaching on chapter 10, so up to now, all right, you'll realize that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was to the Jew and Gentile who converted to Judaism, up to this point. For example, Ethiopian eunuch, right, he has to be, all right, either a Jew or apostolic Jew. If not, he will not be going to Jerusalem and read the Bible of Isaiah. So he has to be either a Jew or apostolic Jew. But what is the significance of the story about the eunuch? Why in the first place Luke put eunuch as part of his story? Because according to the Jewish law, and eunuch is not allowed to enter the temple and participate the life of the Jewish community. So, but now, in Jesus' name, this eunuch will be able to be included and welcome among the people of God. And hence, it's a good news. He rejoiced and got baptized. And God fulfilled his promise to Isaiah. He says that to the eunuch who keep my Sabbath, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And if you remember, after the baptism, right? After Philip baptized him, God took Philip to Azotus. And then the Bible said to us, there he continued to preach the good news of Christ until he arrived Caesarea. Right? Turn to your neighbor, say Caesarea, right? Okay, because there's something interesting about this part of the island, all right, where something important is going to happen in this part, place, okay? And so while Philip was at Caesarea, probably around the same time, Apostle Paul was preaching in Jerusalem after the conversion. And the scripture said to us is that probably he was too passionate or probably was too pushy, but somehow his preaching to the Jews offended many of them. As a result, his brothers or his friend heard that some of them wanted to kill him. So to protect him and send him back to his hometown with Tarsus, they bring him to Caesarea, because Caesarea is where, all right, he would take the ferry back to his hometown to Tarsus. So while Philip at Caesarea, Apostle Paul, all right, was also on the way to Caesarea back to his hometown. Now, at the same time, during this period of time, we also see Peter preaching and healing the sick in the town of Lydda. And then he moved to Joppa, which is closer to Caesarea. And over there, he met Dorcas. He healed Dorcas and brought this godly woman back to life. So you look at the map on the screen, you will see that Philip and Saul and Peter, they were moving towards one direction. And that place is called Caesarea. So it seems like Luke is giving us a hint that something is important that's going to happen in this place. And by the way, that door that you're seeing, all right, is a picture I took 2 years ago when I was at Israel, okay? This is a place where the scripture said to us is that after the healing of Dorcas, Peter went to one of his disciples by the name of Simon, a leather tanner's house, and over there, he rests for a period of time, all right? So this is a place, it's still around. But Luke, it seems to telling us that something is going to happen in Caesarea. So what is that something that's happening in Caesarea? What is that big thing that's going to happen in Caesarea? So if you have a Bible, you have the phone, now is the time, all right? Turn with me to Acts chapter 10, all right? Acts chapter 10, and I'm going to read for us verse 1 and 2, all right? So Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. If you don't have the phone, you can look on the screen. So verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. All right? So, of course, the presence in Israel is a bit bare, but it's still a very beautiful place when I was there 2 years ago in Israel. But during that time, all right, in the olden day, Caesarea is a beautiful city. And one of the ways I could describe about this place will be something probably quite similar to our Shenton Way. If you've been to Shenton Way, quite similar, all right? Clarke Quay, Kallang, that area where you will see our old Pearl Harbor. You remember, we have old Pearl Harbor, sports hub at the Kallang, hotels, commercial buildings, pubs and Parliament South. So just picture a little bit, all right? That's the kind of place. And it's a cross-cultural community, multi-religion, but mostly Gentiles. Mostly Gentiles. This is the place, definitely not an ideal place for the Jews because they don't associate with Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles today is you and me, the non-Jews. So neither do Gentiles live well with them. For example, the Jews would think of Gentiles as unclean people, but the Gentiles would mock at them as stiff-necked people. So it is unimaginable to see a Jew eating together with a Gentile. It is unimaginable, right? But God is going to break down the Berlin Wall. God is going to do something and transform their relationship between the Jews and Gentiles, which we will see later on. So although Cornelius is a Gentile, a captain of Roman soldiers, means a man of respect and authority, and he's a devout man, someone who fears God, humble and kind, and who respects the Jewish God, but he is not circumcised. And he has not converted to Judaism yet. So he's more or less like the eunuch. They were treated like, I would say, a second-class citizen. In the sense is that when everyone goes into the temple to worship and participate in the rituals, they are not allowed to go in. They can only stand outside and watch what they are doing. So can you imagine how you feel about that? That you sort of like being rejected to enter and to participate with the rest of them, the Jewish community, and worship together. So can you imagine how they will feel? And, you know, you might think a man like Cornelius, a godly man, a man like him, you know, generous, well-respected, should be welcomed by the zoo, right? Jews, right? Internet, right? A man like him. Unfortunately, most Jews don't really welcome or respect a Gentile. In fact, most Jews have strong prejudice against the Gentile. Right, for example, I can give you in Matthew chapter 15, a Gentile woman asked Jesus for healing. But what did Jesus say to her? It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. So is Jesus saying that this woman is a dog? Does Jesus have racist problem? Of course, we know he doesn't. Jesus did not have racist problem. But he said it because he knows that's how the Jew view the Gentile. And he wants the disciples to know, using that as a lesson, for them to know that that's not how God sees the Gentile. That is not God's opinion. The truth is this: Gentiles are welcome in God's kingdom. In fact, it is their prejudice against Jesus that put Jesus on the cross. I wonder this morning, is there anyone here, even those who are watching online, you feel like Cornelius? You feel someone is prejudging you. It doesn't matter what you do, they already formed their opinion against you. You are being judged for your physical appearance. You are being judged for your mental disability. You are being judged for your social status. You are being judged for your gender. You are being judged for your work performance. Or maybe you are being judged because of your past mistake. And you feel rejected and unworthy. My friends, I have a good news for you this morning. And the good news is that is not how God sees you. God shows no favoritism. I want you to know that in Christ, you are fully accepted and loved by Him. In Christ, there's no condemnation. And His love for you is unconditional. For He says, for neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. In Him, you no longer need to strive for people's approval. Because in Christ, you are His chosen and special people. Turn to your neighbor and say, point to the person, you are special people in God. Yeah? You are chosen and special in the eyes of God. Do you feel the love of God for you this morning? You feel that? Give the Lord a clear offering, right? Let's give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord. That's not how you see us, like how the world see us. We thank you, God, that we are fully accepted by Him. But as people of God, we who have received the mercy of God, we who have received His mercy, let us don't do what the world do to us. Let us don't do what others do to us. We want to be quick to listen and slow to judge others. Let's be slow in how we judge one another. And by the way, we all know God will judge us if we judge others. You know, lately the Christian is divided because of the vaccination. Should I go for Pfizer? Should I go for Moderna? Or should I go for Sinovac? Or should I get my vaccination? Or should I not to go for my vaccination? So Christians are divided over this issue. But Paul reminded us this morning, there's neither Jews nor Greek. There's neither Pfizer, Moderna, or Sinovac. There's neither vaccination or no vaccination. But Paul wants us to remember that we are all one in Christ Jesus. What truly matters in Christ is we do not walk according to the flesh. What truly matters in Christ is that we walk according to the Spirit. So may I encourage us by using the freedom in our Lord Jesus Christ, who paid by His blood and redeemed that freedom for us. May I encourage us, use that love, use that freedom to love and serve one another. Use that freedom to love one another as ourselves instead of biting and devour one another, consuming one another. Is it all right? Turn to your person right now, right next to you, and say, all right? Be kind to one another, right? Let's be kind to one another, okay? And I want you to know that your kindness to the poor, your kindness to one another, according to Proverbs 19, verse 17, it says that your kindness to the poor and your kindness to one another is a loan to the Lord, and He will give a reward to the lender. He will give a reward to the lender. So indeed, God rewarded Cornelius' kindness. God rewarded Cornelius' faithfulness. Because we see later on that God sent an angel and said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and the devout soldiers from among those who waited on him continually. And so he had explained all these things to them, and then he sent them to Joppa. Wow. Imagine you are Cornelius today. Imagine you are him today. How would you feel? Now, if I'm Cornelius today, I'm going to get very, very excited. For someone like Cornelius, you know, it's like God is saying to you, I'm going to send Peter to you. Wow, Peter! You know, Peter is not an ordinary disciple. Peter had healed many. Peter has done many miracles. In fact, there was a revival because of Peter's preaching.
And I'm sure what Peter has done has spread to everywhere. So I'm sure Cornelius must be very, very excited. Wow, Peter is coming to my place. God is sending Peter. And so I'm sure, right, that he'll be so excited that he will invite his friends and relatives and mention to every one of them, come to my place. Come to my place now. Why? Because God is sending Peter to my place. And so I want us to know, they are very excited about what they hear about Peter's coming. But this is not so for Peter. Cornelius is very excited, but this is not so for Peter. All right? And for Peter, this is going to be a mind-blowing experience for him. For Peter, this is going to be a very difficult thing for him. It's going to be a very difficult decision that's to make for him, for this season, for this time. So it's difficult for Peter. And we will know why Peter struggled with that. Why Peter struggled. So while Cornelius' men were on the way to invite Peter, the scripture said to us that Peter was at the rooftop for sun tanning. So tanning, right? Quite good, yeah? So probably he was on the rooftop, right? Looking at the sea, enjoying the breeze, maybe a glass of iced lemon tea, all right, lying down there, maybe with the Bible, reading the Bible, you know, meditation, praying, and seeking God. And so while the man was sending to him, Peter was resting. And so I had a conversation with Pastor Daniel, you know, while I was preparing this message. Well, why, in the first place is, why is Peter even there? Is he having his staycation? Is he taking a break? Is it because of the persecution? So Peter is running away from there. So what is Peter doing there? And anyway, all right, let's don't get distracted. We don't really have the answer, but don't get distracted. I know many of you, when I mentioned the word about having holidays, many of us probably, you are started to thinking about the possibility of traveling again, all right? Oh, where do I go, all right? So let's don't get distracted, all right? Maybe some of us are thinking about what's going to eat for lunch later on, right? After the service today. Yeah. So while the people were reaching Simon, Peter was at the rooftop, and it was in the noontime. It was in the afternoon. And why we know it's in the afternoon? Because in 10 verse 10 to 16, it says that then Peter became very hungry and wanted to eat. So it was during the lunchtime. But while they were make ready, he fell into a trance, a deep sleep, and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bows at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creepy things, birds of the air, lobsters, Sri Lanka crab, big prawns, all right, whatever you can imagine, all right. And then a voice came to Peter and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And the voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. If today I'm sleeping on my rooftop, if the Lord said to me, "Joseph," with the dreamer, all the lobsters, the Sri Lanka crab, and the Lord said, "Joseph, kill and eat," I can assure you, all right, the Lord doesn't need to say three times. I say, one time will do. "God, thank you, and I will consume all the food." I'm sure you'll do the same, right? But Peter is a faithful Jew, right? He says, "I can't do that. Lord, I can't do that. I've never eaten anything that's not pure or fit to be used for food." I know some of my Buddhist friends here today, all right, they're faithful Buddhists, and they will never eat beef, right? But for Peter, maybe he thought that God is testing him again. Remember, he failed the first time. So maybe he thought God is testing him again. And he said, "This time, I'm not going to fall and fail God again." So he said, "Lord, I'm hungry, but I won't fall again like the last time. This time, I must do sweet, sweet." Right? "I'm not going to fail you." Right? And so after that, he thought maybe the Lord is going to say, "Oh, well done, Peter. You are faithful. You did not fail me. You did not fail on me this time. So he thought that God is going to say that, but this vision happened 3 times. And each time the Lord said to him, what God has made this thing clean, don't say they are unfit to eat. Now, this really make Peter struggle. So what is God trying to tell me? You know, what is God saying? Right? 你在讲什么? Right? So I think Peter must be puzzling and wondering. So what is God hinting me? What is God trying to tell me? So what is the Lord saying to me? Did I really misunderstand God? So while he was still wondering and puzzling, the man sent by Cornelius arrived. And while the man was at the doorsteps, the Holy Spirit said to him, 3 men are here looking for you. Hurry down and go with them. Don't worry, I sent them. And the next morning, Peter asked 6 witnesses plus the servant sent by Cornelius to come along with him on the way to meet Cornelius. There's some interesting lesson we can learn here about those who are praying and seeking God for direction. Maybe you are praying to God for a decision. You are seeking for some direction. And sometimes, it's like what SP shared with us a few weeks ago, sometimes we have to make our first step before God shows us the next steps. Peter went ahead without understanding what God is saying to him. He is still trying to figure out what God is telling him. But because God said go, he obeys and he went. And sometimes we need to be like, Peter, obey first. Go first. I can assure you, all right, even if you have to make a U-turn later, it is still a good thing for you. At least you know that direction is a wrong direction. So when you're seeking for direction, sometimes we need to learn like Peter. Obey him first. Take the first step and God will reveal to you the second steps. So, but why Peter brought his witnesses along? Why Peter didn't go on his own? Why he brought the witnesses with him? Because, first of all, you must understand, it is a very sensitive issue. It is a very sensitive issue and more importantly, it's a controversial issue to Peter's belief because he's a Jew. And you won't understand unless you are a Jew today. You won't understand why this is such a big problem for Peter unless you know how the Jews think. So for us, it's okay, well, just go, right? But not so for Peter. It against many things, especially in his understanding of God's plan for salvation. But when he arrived at Cornelius, when he arrived at the house, he got a shock because the people were waiting for him. They were waiting for him, very excited for him to share what God has for them. They were hungry for God's word. And then in verse 28 and 29, when Peter saw them, saw the people and Cornelius, when people saw them, Peter said to them in verse 28 and 29, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. You see the struggle? But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent here. I asked them, for what reason have you sent me? So I don't think Peter has discrimination issue, but this is a blowing experience for him. And because all the while he was taught, not by Jesus, that salvation is for the Jews only. If not, a person must at least become a Jew first in order to be part of God's kingdom. But now God seems to showing him another thing. Second, he also know that he'll be questioned for his action. His committee in Jerusalem, When they know that he's going, he went to a Jewish, to a Gentile's house, they are going to question him, why are you associating with the Gentiles? And he was right. He was right because in the next chapter, in chapter 11, verse 2 and 3, it says, when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him. They questioned him, saying, you went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them. So Peter has the wisdom to know that this action will create tension. So this is like saying to Peter, how can you visit a Chinese temple and have fellowship with the people there? So Peter has wisdom, but Peter went, despite all these challenges that he know that he must face, but Peter went, firstly because he wants to obey God. But more importantly, he wants to know why. Why God sends me here? So he asked Cornelius. And after Cornelius explained to Peter what the angels had spoken to him, then Peter realized that God, in the dream, the food that he saw, that God is not just talking about the physical food, but God is talking about the plan for Gentile salvation. And this is where you and me, we are here today. And this is where he started to realize that God has a plan for the Gentile salvation. And he began to share the gospel. He began to share the good news of Jesus. And probably he preached too long. You know, just like any pastors, all right, probably I can only speak for myself. Sometimes we talk and talk, you know, and we talk until we forgot about the time, right? Chinese, they say, 越讲越爽, you know. Hokkien, they say, 如共如颂, you know. Sometimes pastor tends to have the habit, you know. We talk until we forgot there is the time, right, for every service. And so probably Peter was so passionate to share the gospel, to share the good news, that he kept talking. And then the Holy Spirit interject. Because we saw that in verse 44 and 48. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, the witnesses, as many as came with Peter. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentile also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water baptism? That these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. So after this encounter and the pouring of the Holy Spirit, similar to Acts 2, Peter realized. Peter finally understood that what Jesus said to him in the earliest day in the book of John, where Jesus said to him that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things concerning salvation. Now, Peter received the revelation and began to understand the gospel is for anyone who seeks Jesus earnestly in his name. As the scriptures say, anyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Praise the Lord. But the biggest breakthrough I want to show us here, the biggest breakthrough in this story is the relationship between the Jews and Gentile. They are eating together. This has never happened before. But because of the love of Christ, for the first time, we see the Jews and the Gentiles are eating together in the name of Christ. The gospel, the good news of Jesus breaks all the prejudice they had against one another. In Christ, they become one family. And this is a revelation from all of us. When I was in Israel 2 years ago, there were many beautiful mountains and very beautiful sea. But the site that gave me the deepest impression is a church that we attended. And in that church, I saw Messianic Jews, I saw Arab Christians, and I saw Christians from other parts of the nation, different colors, coming together in the same building, worshiping God. And that picture amazed me. How could it possible that people of different language, people of different culture, people of different background are able to come together and worship Jesus in the one same building? With man, it is impossible. But with God, all these are possible. And that is the power of the gospel. Today, we are faced with many social problems, relationship problems. But the gospel has the power to break all these barriers and bring His people together. It is not the system. It is not the system. By changing the system, will not change, you know, break away the barriers from people coming together. It's the hearts that needed to be changed. And only the gospel has the power to change our hearts from inside out. Only when our life is transformed, we will see the power of the gospel working among us. That it is possible that all people from all religion and races, we are able to come together and worship God in one place. In the love of God, all these are possible. If you read the book of Acts, if you're reading and go all the way to the end of the chapter, go to the last chapter, you have the time. If you read to the end of the chapter, you'll realize one thing very, very interesting. Because most of the letter, there's always a conclusion. They always come with a conclusion or a story and with a conclusion. But if you read the book of Acts, you'll find very interesting, there is no conclusion. There's no conclusion by Luke at all. Why? Why Luke keep the story dangling and hanging? Because he's telling us that this gospel, this story, we must continue to share. Because there are many like-minded Cornelius today beyond Caesarea waiting to hear the good news of Jesus. Because everyone deserves a chance to hear the good news of Jesus. And I thank God for Church of Savior, for our migrant worker ministry. I thank God for our Choices ministry. I thank God for our Geylang ministry. I thank God for our Faith ministry, right, who reaching out to the special needs. I thank God for our IHD ministry, for people who need healing, people who need deliverance. I thank God for our Transit Point ministry, right, people who need to find a home, a place to stay. I thank God for our community ministry, all right, reaching out to our neighbors. I thank God for our youth ministry. I thank God for our children ministry. I thank God for our Evergreen ministry, reaching out to elderly, because the good news of Jesus is for everyone. In regardless of race, language, or religion, or any background, the good news of Jesus is for everyone. So it's important that we need to overcome our prejudice. Who should be saved or who should not be saved? Who should we share the gospel to? Who should we not share the gospel to? The love of Christ must be shared to all people. We don't decide who to love and who not to love. We, as what Luke say, in all opportunity that's given to us, we want to do our best to share the love of Christ. Why? Why we want to share the love of Christ? I was arrogant. I was selfish. I was uneducated. I was poor. I was a wretched sinner. I was once like Cornelius. I was in Caesarea, far away from Jerusalem. But God came all the way to tell me I have hope, I'm loved, and He gave me a plan and a future. While the Jews were not so keen in reaching out to Cornelius, the Jews were not so keen in reaching out to the Gentiles. While Cornelius wondered, will God accept me? Will God accept my worship and save me? While Peter try to sort out to understand the mystery of salvation, God make Peter and Cornelius met in Caesarea and to let them know the good news of Christ is for everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? When the world are divided, but Christ bring both people from both ends of the world into one place called Caesarea, and in there, God show them the love of God for everyone, for you and for me. Now, this is a true story. On December 7, happened in 1988. An earthquake hit a town, killing estimated about 25,000 people. And directly after the earthquake, the father rushed to his son's school. But by the time he reached there, the school was flattened. There was no sign of life. Even looking at the situation, feeling discouraged with a heavy heart, but the father never think of turning back. Why? Because he always tell his son, no matter what, I will always be there for you when you need me. And then so he went to the spot where he believed where the son's classroom is, and he begins to remove the rock, the slack, one by one and one by one. Most parents around him were crying hopelessly. My sons, my daughter, they were all crying. And some of the teachers, even the parents, walked to the father and said to him, don't do anything. There's no chance. Go home. Go home. There's no chance for anyone could survive. But the father ignored them and replied, I make my son a promise that I will be there for him anytime he needed me, and I must continue to dig. So while he was taking the stone piece by piece, no one is helping him because the rest of us don't see any hope. But it didn't stop him. He wants to know for himself, is my son alive or is he dead? And so he kept digging, keep moving, 4 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours. He is still there moving the stone. 36 hours. And then in the 38 hours, he heard some noise. And he began to shout, Aman, Aman, are you there, Aman, my son? There was a silence. After a while, a boy responded, Dad, it's me, Aman, Dad, it's me. I am inside here. And the boy told the father, I have told other kids not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, you will come and save me. And when you save me, you will save all of us. Because you promised you will always be there for me. And you did it, Dad, you did it there. And so now, with the encouragement, the father dig and dig, and finally, Aman and 3 other children came out of their darkness. They were hungry, they were thirsty, boys and girls. They climbed out of the debris and they were safe. When the father saw his son, he ran to him, hugged him, and kissed him, and lovingly carried him home. So when a reporter heard about this story, they wanted to know from the father, what keep you going? What keep you digging? What keep you doing when everyone seems to be hopeless about the situation? And the father said to the reporter, because I promised my son, no matter what, I will be there for him. If you're like Cornelius today, like the children in the dark, and you're wondering, would Jesus come and save me? Maybe some of us and those who are watching online, you are in the situation where everywhere is dark. There's only a glimpse of light. And you wonder, would someone do something? Would someone do something and reach out their hand to save me? Would someone out there? Maybe you've been screaming in the darkness. with someone, I'm still alive, I need help. And you wonder, would someone come and save me? I have a good news for you today. Jesus came down from heaven. He gave up everything and became one of us and died on the cross and resurrected on the third day so that He might save you. Jesus came all the way. He has done all these things for you so that He might save you. And this is the good news. This is the good news that God has given for us. That today, you call those who call on His name, if you call on His name, He will come and save you. Because that is His promise for you. That is His promise for you. And so, if you have not received Jesus in your life today, and you're wondering, would Jesus save someone like you? You're like Cornelius. You feel rejected. And you wonder, would God accept someone like me? I have a good news for you, my friends, today. Call upon the name of Jesus. He is there ready to serve you. In fact, Jesus has not stopped digging. He has been digging and digging and digging, hoping to find a soul to save, no matter how hard. And Jesus will go all His way. Even if you have to save one soul today, He will go all the way out for you. For you. Because He loves you. Because He made that promise to you. When you call on His name, I will be there for you. May I invite us to stand? Even as we sing this song, let's remember His love. And if you are the person today in the darkness, I want you to know God is ready to save you. Call upon His name and He's ready to save you. Maybe some of us, you have been calling His name for very long. You're in the darkness, you keep calling His name, but God seems like not responding to you. Be patient. Be patient with Him. He's still digging. He's still removing. And He promised you the day will come. He's going to clear all these things and you reach out His hand to you. So you have been calling upon His name and you feel Jesus is not responding to you. Be patient. Be patient. The Lord is on His way. The Lord is on His way to save you. Amen. Amen.
Say to those who are fearful hearted, do not be afraid. The Lord your God is strong with His mighty arms. When you call on His name, He will come and save. He will come and save. Surely come, He will come and save.
If this is your first time that you have responded to the message of Jesus, I will encourage you that you can go to the nearby church, or you can go to any of the church website, or if you happen to know any Christian friends, talk to them, all right? Talk to them and share with them your experience, and they will lead you what to do next, okay? And for the rest of us, before we go, you know, Aman, God, Father saved Aman, right? And because of Aman, the 12 children were saved. In the sense that God saved us, so that those who are with us will be saved too. So I just want to encourage us, let's don't get tired of sharing the love of Christ with one another. Let's continue to share the good news with those around us. And you never know God, how God can use each one of us to reach out to those who need to hear the good news of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me say a short prayer for us and a blessing. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for those who responded. Thank you, Lord, for the message of love. And also, Lord, today, Lord, encouraging us, inspired us, Lord, to be faithful, Lord, in sharing the good news of Jesus. Because there are many Cornelius today. They are waiting to hear the good news. So, Father, we pray you send us out, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, through us, in all that we can. Lord, we want to share this love that you've shown to us, we want to share with them so that others might know your love for them. So thank you, Father. May the love of God, the peace of God, the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all and evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you all next week. Amen.